There's 2 million units needed in the state. And when you ask investors if they're building here, what do they say?
They say, no, it's too expensive.
They say it's too expensive. But what they don't tell you, or maybe what I believe they're missing, is when you have 18 to 20 people bidding on a home or putting in applications to rent, and you only have one unit available, what happens to the prices?
Go up.
They go up. So what we've seen is rent growth continues to go up, appreciation continues to climb, and then you look at the other markets that everyone's been so bullish on, right? Your, you know, Sunbelt states, the, you know, Texas and everybody where all the dollars seem to be flowing, they're not having that same experience right now.
Welcome to The Financial Commute, a weekly podcast that gives you the rundown on what's going on in the current market, how it affects you, and what you can do about it, all designed to fit into your commute. I'm your host, Chris Galeski, and each week I share the table with a knowledgeable guest, including Morton Wealth Advisors, fund managers, and investment analysts, to break down complex financial topics. Our goal is to provide you with the tools to help you navigate any market environment, leading to a path of more confident investing.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for another episode of The Financial Commute. I'm your host, Chris Galeski, joined by Mikey Taylor of Commune Capital. Mikey, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to talk to you today because you've got a broad background, right? You're a retired pro skater. You launched a brewing company, St. Archer Brewery, so you understand marketing and you know, brand development. You're also a big real estate investor, and you're on the Thousand Oaks City Council. So you're busy.
Nice. Right. I have four kids, so we're extra busy.
And you have four kids. I just have two. But why I'm so excited to talk to you about today is because you invest in real estate. We don't currently invest with Commune Capital, but you have an interesting take or viewpoint on investing in real estate and geographically where you're most excited about investing. And I thought that our clients should hear from you because you have a different take than a lot of other investors. So let's start there. Why are you so excited about California real estate?
Okay, so I think it's probably important to just state out front, I am more of a contrarian thinker with everything I do. The brewery, it was against the grain. And so I find more comfort in opportunities that I believe everyone is missing. If I'm doing the same thing as everyone else, I actually get uncomfortable, but that's not the normal trend for investors. So that's kind of the, you know, at least set the stage. California, when I say I invest in California, and I'm all in on California, but people think I'm nuts. I mean, I speak across the nation. They think we're crazy. But this is basically my thesis, that California is so difficult to do anything in, right? It's heavy regulation. It's red tape. The politics aren't great. It is not easy to do real estate here. And so what that ended up creating is what I think is one of the greatest opportunities that we've seen, which is the state of California has one of the most extreme housing crises we've ever seen,
right?
So basically, if you follow what happened post-financial crisis, we stopped building. Like, our numbers were great 2004. We only had about 1 year since 2008 where we were getting back to trend. And then all of a sudden, you know, a year ago, that fell off the cliff.
Right.
So what does that mean? There's 2 million units needed in the state. And when you ask investors if they're building here, what do they say?
They say, no, it's too expensive.
They say it's too expensive. But what they don't tell you, or maybe what I believe they're missing, is when you have 18 to 20 people bidding on a home or putting in applications to rent and you only have one unit available, what happens to the prices?
Go up.
They go up. So what we've seen is rent growth continues to go up, appreciation continues to climb, and then you look at the other markets that everyone's been so bullish on, right? Your, you know, Sunbelt states, the, you know, Texas and everybody where all the dollars seem to be flowing, they're not having that same experience right now, right? A lot of operators have had to stop their dividend payment to hold cash because now they have concern that they won't be able to get out of their bridge debt into permanent, right? Or they're having to have concessions to get occupancy back up. So I like the idea of, one, investing where other people are scared to invest, and two, I look at the state policy almost as a mechanism that keeps competition out. The barrier to entry is so high that when we look around, there's no one else really competing.
So your biggest sort of challenge is raising the capital to go execute because you believe in the strategy, you believe in the economics of it, and you know how to navigate sort of the challenges of getting the permits and going and deploying?
Well, I would say raising capital, like our, like when I talk about going against the grain, our company raises money differently than most people. Like, we raise the majority of our money from social media. Yeah. It's direct to the investor. It's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, right? And that's become maybe 85% of our capital stack. Yeah. So it's not necessarily the capital that's difficult. It's getting projects through the finish line here, yeah. right? There's such thing as entitlement fatigue with developers in California. You know, for example, the last project that we closed on, the owner was 7.5 years in on getting his entitlements, right? Wow. It's just, that's brutal. For us, it's typically 2 to 3 years. Okay. Most investors won't go through that.
Yeah, that's a long process. And, you know, time is money in many cases. I was talking with some other real estate developers recently, and they say, Chris, right now, you know, in this area, it's cheaper, it's more economically favorable to buy an already existing building, do a value add, and then turn around and move on than it is build ground up. Like, what is your view of, you know, that viewpoint versus ground up construction? Because if we have such a big housing supply, we need more ground up.
Okay, so I think it depends on the asset class you're talking about. Like, we are really big in storage, and we do adaptive reuse. So we turn big box retail like Kmart's and Walmart's into storage. In that instance, yeah, it makes more sense in a lot of cases to do that than build. Mm-hmm. Multifamily, totally different scenario, right? One, I don't personally love the idea of going in and buying a Class C property and then trying to drive rents up. I would rather just add new units. But two, the debt market is so challenging right now that you don't have enough room, I don't believe, to basically put on bridge debt, drive your value up, and then qualify for your permanent financing on a value add. I just don't think it's there. Right. Where for us, it's like when you buy a distressed asset with no income coming in, we can get it at a discount, and then we're focusing on what we call yield on cost, or, you know, what the cap rate that we're building it to is. And on that metric, yeah, it totally makes sense to do.
So if you're an owner of real estate here in California, I mean, you're hearing some other pockets across the U.S. with interest rates higher that, you know, prices have come down a little bit. But if you're an owner in real estate here in California, you feel like that value's pretty, not secure. I mean, we don't have a crystal ball, but you think that it's likely to maintain its value over time and increase because of the lack of supply.
And I think right now is actually probably one of the most, you know, it's so interesting what happened in California this last year. When you think about how significant the rate hike was, we should have seen real estate crash, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
What happened on single family in California?
Nothing.
Prices went nowhere but up.
You're right.
Right?
Because supply is so bad.
Bingo. Yeah. So basically, you know, if we're talking about what's best for the total population, truthfully, we want to see corrections. Yeah. Like, we want to see these moments where we're undersupplied, so prices go up, then developers build. What we do is we overbuild, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, you have to start giving concessions, and then prices crash, and then you can't build, yeah. right? That's kind of the normal cycle. The challenge is when you're 2 million units short, that cycle doesn't come. And so, you know, is it not good for a big percentage of people in California? Yes. Like, home prices have become too expensive. Rents are climbing at a rate that is not normal. Yeah. But unless our state does a full 180 and goes, we're open for business and we're peeling back all this red tape, well, I'm not sure we're going to fix it.
Yeah, it's a challenge. Like, I love the fact that you touched on, you know, how you invest and think differently than others. I mean, we try to make that part of our DNA as well. You know, we invest beyond traditional stocks and bonds and mutual funds for clients. We have a different outlook on how or why we invest or protect capital. So that resonates with us a lot. Tell me a little bit, because we also joke around giving financial advice and competing with the internet today.
Yep.
Right? You have created a tremendous brand, a great following. I love the educational component side of things of telling people why you do what you do. What are the challenges that you face with giving internet advice?
Oh, gosh.
Because everybody should just buy an Airbnb and turn around, do cost segregation and walk away.
Yeah, I would say there's a couple things. When I started the brewery, it's alcohol. Like, alcohol is regulated, right? Yeah. When I went out of the brewery when we sold and then started this firm, the amount of regulation that was basically in this field was unlike anything I'd ever seen, right? So it felt like I went from, in some cases, being an entrepreneur to, like, just plugged into corporate America.
Yeah.
To have a chief compliance officer and just review everything. It was a different beast.
That's exactly what a former professional skateboarder wants.
Right. Hey, can this video work? No. Change this. Add this. Right. Disclaimer on everything. Yeah. But it is what it is. I would say the frustrating part on my end is I'm competing, in a sense, for attention on social media with groups that are probably doing things they shouldn't be doing, right? They don't have to worry about regulation. They don't manage people's money. They're just giving out financial advice, which you shouldn't be doing. Yeah. They're not advisors.
Right.
But they're so small that I think just they don't realize and no one's coming after them.
Right.
So it almost feels like, you know, what we talk about in an industry that's completely, you know, decentralized, where there's no regulation, the competitive side of capitalism will drive you into kind of a place you don't ever want to be. That's kind of what it feels like in some regard. Like, I feel like my hands are behind my back because everyone else is getting more attention because they're saying things that they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But, you know, now flipping it to the positive, I was blessed by somebody coming into my life and teaching me just the foundational stuff. Here's a budget. Here's how to build your credit. Here's how to pick what assets you should be investing in. I mean, it changed everything for me. And so I wanted to take what I was given and basically, you know, magnify it out to whoever I could. Whether you wanted to invest with me, whether you wanted to take that information and go on like a DIY path, or maybe, you know, you had a client with a firm like yours and like, I'm interested in how he says, and now I get to ask questions to you guys. Like, yeah. I just want people to have it and then choose what they
do
with it.
You want to empower more people with the education that you've been blessed in.
Correct.
Yeah. I also think you like red tape because you like to invest in California and then you're also being challenged by the legal battle.
Yeah, so that's the thing about skateboarding. It's skateboarding so hard that I think I got used to, or maybe not used to. I think I enjoy having challenges in front of me and having to figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, truthfully, when things get too easy for me, I get bored.
Yeah.
Like, after we sold St. Archer, we all stuck around for a little bit.
Yeah.
It lost its interest.
Yeah.
You know? So I am definitely, I enjoy building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And so how did that take you down this path of becoming a Thousand Oaks City Council member as well? Like, I mean, you're able to kind of not only see it from an investor standpoint, from a building a business, having employees, seeing opportunity for investment here in the state that you live in and love. Mm. But now you're also, you see the red tape that's put through, you know, from the cities. Now you're part of the city council. Like, what are your thoughts? What's your viewpoint there?
Yeah, that's been an interesting one. I think it's, look, first, because I come from the real estate side and I'm used to being on the other side of the planners or city council, now being behind the, you know, city side, I think it's added a lot of value to our town. Like, you know, I'm able to articulate things through the experience that we constantly go through that I think unless you're a builder, you just don't realize it. So I'm hoping that I've kind of added value in that regard. You know, it's interesting. A lot of it is actually is a state. It's a state thing, right? Like, there's been a big shift. Like, if we really, like, tie this thing, you know, tie the knot or bring it full circle, the reason really that we got into this housing crisis is because city council people were being elected to stop any type of growth, right? The NIMBY movement is what we call it, right? And the state would tell cities how many units that they would need to build because we have population growth, and the city would go, okay, sure, and never do it, right?
Yep.
What our current governor did, which I actually have to give him credit for, it was I think for what he's trying to accomplish, it was a good move. He created what's called the Builder's Remedy. And the Builder's Remedy basically allows a developer to tap into this program in cities where their housing element is out of compliance. So now, basically, the state says, Thousand Oaks, you have to add this many units. Santa Monica, you have to add this many units. And they now have to put that into their plan, get their housing element, you know, approved by the state, and now all of a sudden they're in compliance, right? If they're out of compliance and the builder taps into Builder's Remedy, now you have in Santa Monica what you're seeing, apartments can't go over four stories, and you have somebody who's going to build a 15-story, like 2,000-unit apartment.
Right.
And the city's trying to stop it. I don't think they're going to be able to.
Right.
So it's actually kind of changed a big part of the dynamic in California as it, you know, pertains to how we're going to build. But a lot of the stuff that we're kind of challenged by is the state saying, do this. And, you know, we have how our city works and we know it best because we live here. And how do you move through that? That's the challenging part.
No, look, I agree with you. And anytime you're having to deal with, you know, cities and entitlements and permits, I mean, since COVID, we've had a shortage of execution on a time frame. And there's challenges that are there. And I love California. I'm seventh generation Californian.
Right.
And so I always like to talk to people that are excited about the opportunity in the space. Mikey, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge or your wisdom on why you're excited about California, the challenges that we do face today, and, you know, the ways that we potentially get out of it.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us, and we hope this episode has provided you with a roadmap to feel more confident as an investor. To receive notifications about weekly episodes, email us at financialcommute@mortonwealth.com.